Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you need one of these lesson guides, if you'll raise your hand, somebody will bring it to you. Keep your hand up. And all right. We're talking about the task. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So I want you to know that Our challenge is the main thrust of that passage, as we have been saying in this series, is not necessarily the going, the teaching, and the baptizing, although those are very important. But what is the main thrust of that text? To do what? Make. There you go. Wonderful. I was really getting nervous there. But anyway, that's okay. But folks, we know that the Lord wants us to share our faith. He wants us to be a gospel witness. We have to introduce people to Jesus Christ. So I want us to talk tonight about cultivating a gospel witness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Now look at verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I have learned this, and everybody, let's just be real honest. Sometimes talking to someone about someone that's a stranger about their faith in Christ is not easy. Do we agree with that? Are we okay with that? I'm praying that tonight there's going to be something said that is going to unleash us to feel like we're a part of the cultivative witnessing process, because I want you to know that sharing Christ is like, well, look at John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at John chapter 4, verse 34 and following. John 4, 34. "Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." So it's like when someone comes to know Christ, somebody has planted a seed, just like if you are working together on a garden, okay? If someone plants a seed and somebody else comes along and waters, somebody else comes along and gets the weeds out, and all of a sudden there's a crop, you enjoy the crop together. Now, you may fight over the crop, but you enjoy the crop together if you're working on it together. I had a garden. I've had several gardens. I am not a gardener. I can't get stuff to really produce like I want to. I had some success with some tomatoes, had some success with some zucchini squash. I really wanted the yellow squash, but I couldn't do it too. I just couldn't pull it off. Well, I told my daughter, Catherine, my second-born child, Catherine, my oldest girl, we were doing chores, and I said to Catherine, Catherine, Daddy's going to work. I want you to go out and weed my garden. Well, I have a revelation to tell you if you're a gardener. Do not, Roundup does not work for weeding a garden. Because I came home and I said, honey, did you weed the garden? She said, yes, I did. And about 3 days later, all the weeds were dead, but all the plants were dead too. And so anyway, excuse me, I have a cough drop in my mouth and I'm trying to make this without doing too much coughing. But anyway, but sharing Christ is similar to farming. Anybody grow up on a farm? All right, look, we got some farmers here. Good. You grew up on a farm. Well, it's like sowing and reaping. Look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to hit a lot of scriptures tonight. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. I want to tell you, number three there, evangelism is a process. Now, can I tell you this? If just because this week you did not see someone pray to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, does not mean you have not been involved in the evangelistic process. And I want to encourage you today because there are some who seem to be at the right place at the right time when someone prays to receive Christ. That's wonderful. I've had the experience of leading many people to pray and ask Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. But can I tell you this? I have to be smart about it to realize that there are so many others often who have poured into that person's life and loved them and made a difference in their life and really cultivated the soil and made it possible for me to be someone who comes along and has an impact as well. So evangelism is a process. Now, basically there are three barriers to someone coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I have seen this. There's probably a few more you could add to it, but as a general rule, I think there are these three. The first one is an emotional barrier. That means someone has had a bad experience with other believers. Have you ever heard this statement? This statement says that, oh, the reason John has never become a Christian is he's never met a Christian. This could also be true. Oh, the reason John has not become a Christian is because he has met some Christians. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes people have a bad experience. Now, that's not an excuse, but it is a barrier. There's an emotional barrier. I heard the story of someone who was very, very anti-church, anti-Jesus Christ, and finally, someone built enough of a relationship to say to that person, hey, tell me, what is your hang-up with church and God? And he said, when I was a little boy, he said, my father got real sick, and he ended up dying. I was just a little boy, and my mother went to the church in our little town and wanted my father to have a church funeral. And they had a fee. They had a fee for a funeral in that church. And we did not have the money to pay that fee, and so we had to go somewhere else, and we could not have the funeral for my father in that church. And so we had to go somewhere else. And then he said this. He said, and ever since that time, I have just been so negative on the church. There's a lot of people in our world with this barrier. It's an emotional barrier. You know what it is? It's bad experiences. One thing that Robert always says on Sunday, and now Michael says it when you're out. Michael, you know what I'm talking about. He says, Lord, he prays, Lord, let us act like your children. That is a profound prayer to me because, you know what, if we leave this building and go out there and act like the children of God, then we can build some relationships with people and give Jesus a good name. We can be an example and reflect the glory of God onto the Lord Jesus Christ, reflect his glory to people if we are acting like his children. But there's a lot of people out there that have been wounded. So that's emotional barrier. Another one's intellectual barrier. You know what that is? Bad info. They've had bad information. That's one reason you have guys like Ravi Zacharias and others, because some people intellectually, they need to have some barriers knocked down in their life, all right? The other one is volitional. They've got a volitional barrier. You know what that is? That is a bad nature. You know what that is? That is the fallen nature. We all have that barrier. And until we're willing to surrender our will to Jesus Christ, we will not get saved. And the Bible says, there's a scripture in John where the scripture says, the reason they don't come to me is because they like their darkness. They like their sin. And so that's the way we were until the Holy Spirit quickened in our life and showed us the truth. We were that way as well. So that's something we have to get over as well. So there's a volitional barrier, and that is a bad nature. Now, I want you to think about this concept of farming, okay? And I want you to think about this word cultivate. There's an acrostic here, and I want you to look at it, and I want us to talk about how everyone in this room, now think about this with me, I really mean this, everyone in this room can be a part of the evangelistic process. And this is so freeing to me, because sometimes when we say, you mean evangelism? Oh my God, you mean sharing? Oh, you mean, and we get nervous because that means I've got to go knock on somebody's door I've never seen in my life, and I've got to tell them they're going to hell. Well, that would not be the best approach even at that, okay? But that's what we think. But can I tell you this? You become a spiritual farmer. All right? Look at Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at these verses quickly. Matthew chapter 9. Boy, I got to hurry. Wow. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Robert, you're going to help me find these verses that are ahead, okay? And get to read them real loud, because it's going to take a while if I have to look them all up. Okay, Matthew chapter, well, we got it in the back. Hey, we got them instant. Matthew chapter 9, 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, I want you to think about that verse. He's likening the harvest, talking about winning people to Christ, like farming. So this is what we're talking about. But then he says this, therefore pray. When Jesus noticed those that were lost and those he had compassion on, the first thing he said is, therefore pray. So the C stands for communication with God. I want to say this to you, that prayer, many times we think evangelism means to go and to say something and to speak something. Well, that's part of it, but it begins with prayer. I had a professor, thank the Lord I can say that in past tense, I had a professor. Boy, that's a blessing to be able to say that. I had a professor. Robert can't say that yet. No, he can't say that. He's under the thumb of a professor right here in this program. But anyway, I had a professor that prayed for over 30 years for his father. And I'll never forget him telling us that story, that his father came to know Jesus. Evangelism begins with communication with God in prayer. By the way, I wrote the word, evangelism begins with prayer. That's the next blank. And then I wrote the word Monica. Augustine, the great theologian, was an infidel, as he said it, as he put it. He was lost without Christ. And he had a praying mama. He had a praying mother whose name was Monica. And She went before the Lord for Augustine. He moved away from home, but while he was away, God used others to sow the gospel seed in Augustine's life. And Augustine's the one who said this, "Lord, you have made us for ourselves, for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." So prayer is the beginning, all right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord." Verse 5. Well, I might have written the wrong phrase down. Here's the blank for number 2, and then you got the other text there as well. The scripture teaches that those without Christ are spiritually blind. Oh, okay, 2 Corinthians. Sorry, I didn't write the right thing. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." That's the right passage. So make that switch. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Here's the blank. Number 2, understand the world. Can I tell you this, folks? You know why people act lost? Because they are lost. And part of what we've got to do to cultivate evangelism in people's lives is we don't have to always be so shocked by the way people that don't know Christ live. It doesn't surprise me. It should not surprise us, because the scripture teaches that those that do not know Christ are blind. They're spiritually dead, Ephesians says. They're held captive by Satan. Can I tell you this? You were lost and blind and held captive until Jesus changed you and opened your eyes. So what are we? Why would it do us any good to just sit around and judge everybody in the lost world? No. Part of cultivation is understanding the world and not being so shocked when lost people act like lost people. Number 3, James 1:19. I hope I typed this one right. I'm not batting a good average right now. It says in James 1:19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." The L is listen. Listen with love. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2 says this, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." Do y'all know someone that they never want to listen? They always want to talk. They always want to give their opinion. When you talk to someone like that in a conversation, you feel like you're playing chess with them. They're just waiting for a little pause so they can get the next move in. That's not a good way to be. Somebody said this. They said, "The Lord gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth. You ought to listen double the time than you talk." When I was in third grade, I've told you all this story. I was in Richmond, Virginia in third grade. And they said, "We've got a test and we think this is easy. You can make 100. Well, I needed 100. And they said this. They said, "Now here's the test." And boy, it was thick. But I kind of peeked. And it looked like easy stuff, you know. And so they said, "All right, now here it is. Wait a minute until we say go. The first one done gets a special prize." Well, man, that revved me up. And they said, "Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when I say go, I want you to be, you know, open up the paper and read all the questions, and then you can start. Okay, go." Well, man, I was going to busy work. All of a sudden, Somebody raised their hand. They said, I'm done. I said, there's no way they can be done. I was only on about the third page, and that thing was like 20 pages. Well, I wasn't listening because the teacher said this. Before you start, I want you to read all the questions and then begin. Well, man, when they said go, I just started doing the thing. I didn't read them. Well, about the fourth page, it said, you're a good listener. Just raise your hand. You've won. And so the smart kid in there that listened won the contest that day. So we are to listen with love. And the lost world, it's amazing what you can learn about someone that needs Christ just by listening, folks. Just by listening to them. All right. Well, number four, talk versus walk. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, the scripture says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Can I say this? Talk and walk is like two wings on an airplane. You can't fly without both of them. But sometimes all we want to do is talk. We don't want to have the walk. I had a guy tell me one time, I asked him, you tell me what is the biggest mistake that we can make in trying to reach young people. He said, I believe the biggest mistake is to be a hypocrite. Don't have the walk, just the talk. Do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't work. And for a lost world, we've got to cultivate the fact that not only are we going to tell you about Jesus, but we're going to walk the walk as well. All right? Now, the crux of this whole lesson is in number five. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about that, and then I'm going to give you the rest of the answers, and then we're going to pray and be done. Number five, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. They have it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 9, 19, it says this, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without law, as without law, being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Here's the blank here. Invest in common ground. Paul says this, you know, when I'm around someone weak, I became as weak. To the Jew, I became a Jew. I talked about my Jewish background. By the way, in Acts chapter 17, he went to Athens and he said to them, hey, I know about the tomb. You're talking about the tomb of the unknown God? Let me talk to you a little bit about that. I know his name. He identified and invested in common ground with those that he was, ministering to, those that he was reaching out to. And I want to encourage you to invest. I want you to think about this. What is it that lost people do, that saved people do, that's not a sin? Somebody raise your hand and tell me. What is something that lost people do, that saved people do, that's not a sin? Yes. Eat dinner. All right, yes. Stanley, you're a man from my own heart. Stanley said, eat breakfast. Eat dinner, eat breakfast. Okay, good. All right, what's that? Yeah, at work. Yeah, what else? Say it again. Eat cheap. We're on eating stuff tonight. Hey, think about this. Sports, hobbies. Sleep, yeah. What can we do? I don't know that we're going to sleep with them, okay? But anyway, I know your point. But my point is this. My point is this, what is it that someone we're trying to invest in their life and love them to Jesus Christ, what can we do with them? All right, now, I just want to share this thing with you right here. The Institute of Church Growth did a survey, and they said, look, we're going to evaluate all the people that have come to churches and joined. And they said, what is it that reached them? All right, walk-ins, those that just walked in, 4%. Influenced by a minister, 4-7%. Come on, man, you got to do better than that. They like the church program, 2-4%. Responded to visitation efforts, 1-2%. They were reached, well, this is depressing. They were reached by the Sunday school, 4-6%. They were reached in an evangelistic crusade, according to this document, 0.1%. They had a special need, 2-4%. The influence of friends or relatives, 70-90%. Can I tell you this? If you're a good person to make friends with, you're natural to do fun things with people, you are a great evangelist. Because you have the ability to build a bridge and to build a relationship. Now, one of these days I'm going to come back and really elaborate on these, but I want to finish it out. Number 6 is value the person. Number 7 is answer the questions that they have. Number 8 is tell the truth. By the way, sometimes we have all friendship and no evangelism. Now, that's not what we need to do. Number 8 is tell the truth. By the way, I have a ton of resources up here. Things that we use to tell the truth. You wonder, all right, let's say I have a friendship and I've invested in somebody's life. How do I tell them about Christ? We have all kinds of things and they're free. I'll buy anything. Our church will. It won't be me. Our church will buy anything we need to help us tell the truth to a lost world. People come up here all the time. Do you have tracts? I will order you what you want until we run out of money. If you'll use it to tell the truth. So that's the 8th one, tell the truth. And then the 9th one is to do everything that we've been talking about in the task, and it's this, to equip for spiritual growth. And those are the scriptures. We don't make decisions, but press to make disciples. I'm going to end with this story. This man who wrote this book right here is a guy named Larry Moody. By the way, this is a great book on apologetics. It's called I'm Glad You Asked. Larry Moody tells a story when he was in seminary that he and his wife Ruth invited a neighbor over. Well, everybody knew this guy was in seminary. He was the preacher. He's going to get you. That's what they thought. And so Larry and Ruth invited this couple over, and they had dinner. And Larry said, he told the story, I heard him tell it. He said that the guy was super nervous coming in. I could just tell he was nervous. And we determined we were just going to have dinner with him and get to know him a little bit. And so we did, and then they went home. We invited them back. They came back. And they played some games together, and they got to know their kids a little bit and things like that. And they became great friends. He says that 6 months into their friendship, he was thinking, I really need to sit down with my buddy here and tell him about Jesus. I've got to make sure he knows the gospel. I feel like I've built that bridge. They know we care about him. They know we love him, and we do. They truly did. But he got a knock on the door, and it was this guy, and he knocked on the door. He said, Larry, he said, I got to talk to you. And he said, come on in. He said, what's up? He goes, man, he goes, my wife is about to leave me. He said, we're in a mess. He said, we're in a big mess. And he said, you and Ruth seem like y'all get along so well. How do you do it? And, of course, Larry's telling the story to a bunch of guys, and he said, I told him, I said, you don't want to know. I said, you don't want to know. He said, no, I want to know, man. He said, I'm in trouble. And he sat down and he said, let me tell you the glue that has held us together. His name is Jesus. And he led that guy to Christ. And he made a statement. He said, when you build a bridge by investing and cultivating in somebody's life, He said, you don't have to chase them down to come to the church because you have built a friendship and a ministry in their life. So I want you to know this. I want to challenge you to take a look at this acrostic here, and I want to challenge you to find somebody in your world that can become a friend to you, that you can become a friend to them. And then you begin to pray for them. You say, well, they do some things that I don't totally always agree with. Well, guess what? If they don't know Jesus, that makes sense. So you invest in common ground, and you begin to pray for them, and you look for that opportunity to tell the truth and give them. And if I can help you with that, we've got some tools that you can have once you build that relationship. All right? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.